by the Greeks, the Romans, the Renaissance, and then the European Enlightenment. The founding fathers of America represent the spirit of the European Enlightenment and this ideal. America is an experiment in achieving freedom that is still underway. This freedom must be of body, emotion, mind, and soul. There has been a vacuum of leadership left as an echo of the assassinations of JFK, RFK, MLK, J, and finally, John Lennon. Now Generation X is stepping up to fill the void and take things farther than they have ever gone before. Visit the website, www.transcendenceworldmovement.com. And if you're listening into the show tonight, it is indeed live. And if you feel like you'd like to join in, discuss anything with me on the air, particularly if you are interested in the topic matter and have something to share or add to the discussion, because this is an open discussion and we are going over many areas of understanding. The goal above and beyond all things is to be informed and aware and to understand the best we can ourselves and our role in the universe, what it means to be human, what it means to be alive. And one person can make a tremendous difference. As I was expressing something along these lines to a student of mine, then I got reflecting to my own life as a musician before radio and how I performed in front of thousands on many, many occasions. In full stadiums, I did solos, and so many times I played in many things like weddings and funerals, special occasions, all kinds of human type situations. And I taught many lessons, individual lessons, classrooms, students numbering well into the hundreds upon hundreds. And then in my writings, in my artwork, and the radio and all the ways I express myself, I explain to this kid, look, you keep at it. Every single person that has heard my words, seen my artwork, heard a note of one of my instruments, they've been touched by me in some way. In some way, even if it is small, I think it ranges anywhere from just a moment, tiny moment, to changing the course of a whole life, but hundreds and hundreds of people in there have somehow been affected. And the same is true for you, I'm sure. How many people have you been interacting with? And just think of the ways you could reach out to even more people and express yourself on a broader scale. One of the first things we need to discover / uncover in our journey to bring about the resurrection of America is that we have to have the will and the strength to walk on centered in ourselves, aware and able to deal with things on the outside in a way that resonates with consistency to the core of our being. We need to be able to have the fortitude to resist oppressive forces that seek to bind us and keep potentialities within our being from being expressed. we need to have the will to create the new, to bring something new to the world and stand behind it, and then do it again, and do it again, and again, until you see that this is how the source flows through humanity, and this is how the divine will gets expressed upon the earth. See, every moment, even to keep your head upright, with the downforce of gravity, it takes a certain amount of will. If you were to withdraw your will, your body would collapse. And it's actually kind of fun to try. It's a neat little meditation. You have to kind of create a safe place around you so that you don't hurt yourself. Because when you truly withdraw your will, your body just crumples to the ground. Your bones fall to the floor, my friends. Your bones fall to the floor. To even hold your hand above your head takes will, takes intention, takes some kind of impetus from your soul through the body. And you can develop this further and further. And then when you can conceive and hold a vision and put your will behind it, you'll be able to bring it to the earth, and you'll be able to chart your own destiny, and you won't wait for some outside force to create the solutions for the planet. You will create them, and you will have the conviction and the courage to carry on this work no matter what you encounter, because it is not a work of self-interest. It is a work of the universe through us, a form of surrender. In many traditions, they call it surrender, where you remove the small self so you can realize the greater self. And then once you realize the greater self, you have to let it shine into the world and change the old habits, the old patterns. And we do this on an individual level, and we will eventually incorporate this into society. One of the things that is needed more than ever is to rethink education in this country, and then perhaps as a model for the world. Many of the old forms of learning may have been pertinent many years ago at a different stage of human development. But at this point, such things as memorization largely harm the child and frits out their more subtler synapse interactions in their brain. Because to hold something in your memory takes a constant amount of energy. You have to hold it and hold it and hold it and hold it. Because something becomes a part of you by experience through doing. So rather than teach a few words in the textbook definition, it is good to create a situation that incorporates those words, and then you come to know them through reality, not simply as some kind of a metaphysical concept that has no substance, no true meaning for the child. And you can see this, what this memorization has done, when you see that people are being interviewed, even on comedy shows. I think of the Jay Leno show, where they interview the average person on the street, and they're a bumbling boob, and then they think it's funny, and they think, well, that's where we are. We're Americans. We're boobs or something. And it perpetuates a kind of mentality, that we have to supersede and not even allow to take root. It is a poor influence. And the whole No Child Left Behind routine with all the standardized tests is taking this memorization route to its conclusion. Is taking it to the wall, to the extreme, trying to force a multitude of individuals to some arbitrary standard. Because in the end, somebody somewhere just decides this is important, this is important, this is important, and then tries to put it to all people. People aren't made that way. It becomes a violence. It becomes a form of invasion. And there is a better way. We just have to consider things in a new way. Open up to the fact that we can change things. We can make our lives whatever we want them to be. We can teach any way we want. And there shouldn't be, see the way it is right now, it's creating an enormous divide between students and, quote, parents, et cetera, et cetera. There shouldn't be two huge separate cultures between the supposed adults and the children, many times of which they're all about the same psychological level of knowing about the world. Now, you know, if you're in the bubble, you're in the bubble. And it's a real messed up situation. And so kids get more and more disruptive the more they get compressed. And then they compress more and more and more. And it's not looking good. Things are getting out of hand. It can't go to the extreme of where our schools become like prisons. We must not allow this. And one thing that would certainly help is if we had a representative for education in this country. I know we have a head of the Department of Education, but do you know who it is? Have you ever heard of them or from them? We need someone. This person is supposed to be the head educator of the country. Someone truly inspired and eager about learning. As many of you probably know, having encountered people like this, it's contagious. They can't help but share. And I see things such as speeches. You know, I've been asked, when I've said this before, well, what would they do? And I said they would do anything. They'd do everything. They'd give public speeches. They'd do videotapes. They'd do television addresses. They might even have their own show, just trying educating the American people or the world people, but just happen to be from America. And see, this is what we want to cultivate, a more openness, a contribution of good things, of understanding. And there's a growing populace in America that's realizing this, that's waking up to this, that's allowing this influx into their life, and they're transforming themselves, and they're educating themselves, and they're starting to stand behind that. You see, it's not against anything. It's behind wisdom. It's behind knowledge. It's behind truth and the human spirit. And for education, we need a philosophical leader, someone who inspires us, someone who gives us a vision and a direction and an aesthetic, not simply a bunch of arbitrary facts devoid of meaning. And once we get beyond the public schools to the university system, we also have some work to do, some big time work to do. Just isn't what it used to seem like. You know, it's an interesting culture. I participated for a very long time, 9 years, both as a student, as a grad student, or as a student, as a grad student, as a teacher at a variety of colleges. And it's something else. It's an environment. It's got its deeply intellectual and spiritual qualities. Mainly, what needs to be revised is it shouldn't have to take so long to get a degree. It shouldn't be. You know, we just have to shift this just with everything else to the deeper understandings, streamline, make things easier, more efficient, and we won't lose out. The people will be more educated, not less educated, because they'll be educated about things that are beyond all details, things about themselves that will give them the skills to find what they need for themselves. We put more trust in the individual, and this would be one way to bring costs down. You see, if we were to say, well, universities shouldn't take 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years, it should take maybe 3 years, 3, 4 years max, but no longer. Then if you want to go ahead level, should be period, you know, maybe a year. And I also think that people in society should have the ability to change their career if they want. Not just once, but maybe, you know, several times as their interests change, as they could do whatever they want. And in a fluid, forward-thinking society, this would be accommodated. And then maybe people would go to, rather than have to embark upon a whole 4-year degree, there would be another degree, like a year degree, that someone who's already well-educated could then just take this additional class, this additional course of classes that would then bring them to the ability to participate in another profession. Because really, you don't even need the classes. If you simply declare yourself to be so, participate, then you are whatever you want to be. You know, if you are out there, and this is something, too, that's coming in this new age, in this new realm, you know, the one-year idea is a scaled-back idea, but eventually we won't even really need all these higher institutions in the sense that they used to be. They will become more of like information hubs. But everybody can access the information for themselves. If you want to be a photographer, for instance, out there, if you're listening, maybe I'm speaking to someone in particular, and that's why I keep getting this in my mind. If you're in a dull job that you don't like, and your heart tells you you want to be a photographer, but then you think to yourself, boy, you know, it's too hard to leave my job, and it's too big a risk to do this, and too big a... just be a photographer. Stand behind yourself. Move in that direction. Plant the seeds that will create the future that you want for yourself. Because the flowers will come. I can tell you for certain, if you plant seeds, the flowers will come. We simply need to teach people how to access the information and lead with their interests. Because there's nothing more stifling to learning and the learning process than trying to force something that doesn't fit. In fact, it is almost a form of torture. And you know what? The kids will get resentful. And if they act out, true, it's wrong, they shouldn't act out. But we also need to understand what causes the acting out. And there's always the factor of whatever their home life is like. And you'd be surprised at the perspective of teachers. You can see a perceptive teacher, a perceptive human who's around kids, can find out just about everything about the parents just by talking to the child. And I don't mean by talking about the parents at all. Because the kids will openly demonstrate everything that's happening. And sometimes it's difficult because you see how the parents are imprinting their beliefs upon the kid, and the kid doesn't understand them but feels compelled to adhere to them, and you can see the worry in their foreheads. But at their third eye, you can see. Look at the children who have a concerned third eye. They're out there, many of them. And it doesn't need to be that way. For some reason, people really, many people in the standard view of things, it's really strange, of this adult-child split. One reason for it is most of the so-called adults say one thing and do the other. They themselves are doing the very thing that they're forbidding the kids to do. And then they get upset when the kids follow their lead, their modeling. It's the modeling that makes all the difference. You could say whatever, oh yeah, this, that, the other thing, but how you act, how you live, how you demonstrate your understanding of life and the interaction with others in your own place in the universe, that is what the children pick up on. How you carry yourself, how you speak, how you deal with things out of the ordinary. And you don't need to dictate, you just need to explain along the way. And explain human to human. And you can all be teachers out there. Rethink this. Open up to this idea. You know, I am getting to the belief that teaching as a career is becoming pretty tough. It will really, well, 20 years, 30 years of it, it'll take a toll. And I'm kind of thinking that, you know, maybe it shouldn't be. It should be more integrated with society in some other way where people who have certain skills rotate in and teach these skills and share these skills. And we can all kind of have a role in nurturing the youth and in teaching what we have learned and modeling good behavior. You know, the kids are very perceptive and they will also share with other kids what you've done. And if you say, if you yell out in anger, it will leave an imprint. So we need to make information easily available. We need to have much more access. You know, our libraries can, and they already are moving in this direction to being less about books and more about computers. And we don't need to be tracking what everybody's looking at. That isn't necessarily necessary, or, you know, someone will just look at it somewhere else. You know, I guess we don't need to have certain things kind of along the lines of X-rated material, I suppose, just out in the open to kids. But overall, we shouldn't be tracking what people are looking at and trying to put their name and the websites together and hold them accountable for that. But that is just a reflection of the kind of fear mentality that shows up in various areas of society. So it's really important to bring this awareness and this willpower and this strength and clarity and calmness. You see, there are many qualities in the soul, and we bring many of them to bear when we look at something from a transcendent perspective, and yet we aren't limited by any of them. That is how everything we are, everything we've experienced, can be used each moment. It's all in there. And so that is another reason why we don't have to memorize necessarily. Because we automatically remember, and that is a skill that can be taught. If we allow the brain pathways to be more open and unencumbered, and teach meditation as well. Meditation has to be a part of education. Meditation has to be a part of education. Meditation has to be a part of education. Really, that's the bottom line. And that's a way to not necessarily bring in any specific spiritual bend. It's simply meditation. It's simply an aspect of the human condition, something that can be done, something that can be scientifically demonstrated, be documented. It's a fact. And I believe that many of the woes in society regarding education would be healed by teaching meditation, by taking the time. You see, why it isn't done now is because it isn't given the value. But it's we, the people, who give things their value. And the meditation has a value that gives benefit to everything else and is a way to also deal with the feelings and the struggles that a young person would go through. Cultivating a peaceful attitude, an attitude of understanding and mutual respect. You know, in fact, many of these very same things are to be found in Christianity and are preached about on Sundays in many churches across the land. Open up your heart. And this is a good time to take a little break, play a song I wrote a couple years ago, I guess, and I prepared it a little bit for you today. It's just a little bit sarcastic. It's called Heroes and Terrorists.
Contradictions peak. People.
We're back, Transcendence World Movement. Today we're talking about the resurrection of America and some ways we can work on that. Some ways not just as a society, generically speaking, but we as individuals, how we can have the strength and fortitude to bring our own creative visions to bear in a society to create that which we hope to be. If you'd like to call into the show, go for it. 877-876-5227. And considering this topic, I thought a lot about the Phoenix this week and how it is a good symbol for this new quality of America, this astral consciousness, this heart awakening, that the Phoenix shows us opening up and rising from the ashes of our misconception. And in this process, we look back upon the past and take everything that was good from the past, and we incorporate it into the new. And then we add our own spirit and our own vision that's in accord with what we see in the times. And we continue to build upon the work. See, that's what it is. If you look at the whole of history, come with me. History is just a gesture. Just think, not much. 2000 right now, about, when we're thinking big, and go back to 4000 BC. Or even most of what we have is 3000 BC. For written history. Now, believe me, I'm definitely convinced of Atlantis and Lemuria, and I know it ties in, I feel it ties in. I know Atlantis ties into Egypt, and Egypt ties into Greece, and so forth, into the Romans, Renaissance, Enlightenment. And now, where we are today, we take up this mission, this cultural mission. And the new ground that we are moving in is that it's no longer Western culture. It is moving to world culture. And the East and the West are indeed integrating. And there are some struggles in this process, but there are many deep bonds, many friendships, many experiences of where it's demonstrated that the whole is possible. The whole is happening. We are indeed one world. And the new quality of America is an America in flux, in a movement, changing, growing, expanding, sharing, giving. And this is not something that's imposed or even suggested to hint of guilt or coercion. It will be a spontaneous opening of the heart when we truly understand we do these things. So we consider the concept of state in the macro, and we can relate it to the concept of ego in the micro. You think many egos make a state. And this is a superimposition upon reality that exists in the mind of man. And it's something we've built for each other kind of through the centuries. It's like a habit. Anyone could see that besides the armed guards holding that idea in place, there's nothing there. You can build a fence. But in time, the fence will fall. They all fall. Every fence shall fall, my friends. Every fence shall fall. Every fence shall fall, my friends, now every fence, now hey, now hey, now every fence shall fall, now hey, now every fence shall fall. Every fence shall fall, my brothers, every fence shall fall. Every fence shall fall, my sisters, every fall, now fall, now fall, now fall, now fall, now every fence shall fall. Every fence shall fall. And life could manifest for humanity in many different ways. Once we get out of the habit and the connection, see, we can rise up out of the lessons of history if we truly understand them and incorporate them, soak them up, each of us as individuals. Become divine when we soak up the human experience and let our light shine. We could live in small groups. We're born onto the earth. We have every right to live however we so choose. Especially if we choose not to harm another. we are here. We have every, we, just because we happen to be born into a previously constructed system doesn't mean that we're intrinsically bound to it. There is a higher order, a universal order, and it's in this that we find our own fulfillment and true expression. You see, most of nature does this unnaturally. A flower cannot be but a flower, so it lives its flower nature. Humans, in having self-determining qualities, can veer wildly off track, can choose to harm themselves, can choose whatever fantasy they desire. But their nature is in the center as well, even as it was in the flower. And once we consciously find that center with open eyes, we will experience that which the flower never does, a higher self-awareness of the process, an attunement with the heartbeat of existence itself that always was there and always will be there, and we were always a part of it, and we always will be a part of it. This is life as it stands. This is life in reality. All other things, attempts to hold ideas in place and force them upon others, are temporary and shall fall, even as the fence before it. So, one of the toughest things is the collective reinforcement. When the state idea has a strong hold over the people, they reinforce adherence in each other, and they convince each other that this superimposition from the mind to man does have a reality of its own. But the only thing that gives it reality is the collective reinforcement, is each other talking about it, thinking about it, and allowing it to affect your life. So if you can become aware of that, ease out of that, poof, you're on another level. You're free. So we could almost call what is occurring right now a cosmic crisis. One thing leading in to the show today that I picked up about 2012, people are always talking about that, and I believe there's a good reason. I feel some kind of inherent truth or resonance with that. I feel that we're changing, and not that anything specific is going to happen on one day, but it's the raising of the energy vibration. You see, I view, because when you're outside of time, you see, I think we're moving out of time. It's the end of time. That's what it is right now. You know, people call it scary names like Armageddon. And, you know, it's sensational. It's entertaining. There's a certain thrill to it. But it's truly the end of time. If you look at the whole of history, you can see how time itself plays out like a rainbow in its raising frequency. Now consider, and I've called this the spectrum of time, consider a rainbow of colors, always a good reference point, as it goes from red all the way to violet. The waves start out slow and longer, and they move faster and faster up through the spectrum until they get to the edge and disappear out of our own capabilities, ability to perceive, because as we also know, it goes on and the implications of it going on in themselves are very important. But even as there is a spectrum of color, there is a white light before it, and in which all colors exist. And even as there's a spectrum of time, let's trace the spectrum. Look how we look at Egypt and how things seem to pass in centuries and super long ebbing periods of time. And then a little bit more picks up, the cycles become a little faster, become a little faster, become a little faster. And it's also like one of those acceleration curves. And now we are getting faster and faster and faster. We're up in the violet frequencies of time. And we are about ready to move right off the charts. And the end of 2012, I believe, that's where we'll be. And there may be some that cling to the old way. But that's why I suggest that 2013 should never occur. That should be year one, day one of the new era. And again, it's just what you give energy to. I will choose to exist in that circumstance, and I will always refer to it as such. Of course, I can say I understand the other calendar, but I might have my own calendar. But something else I did see about the 2012 is that there will be indeed social change. It won't just be the spiritual change and people disappearing, whatever, or ascending, etc., etc. There will be real social change that will happen by then. But in order for that to occur, there has to be some big things to come first. Kind of a universal Zen stick that wakes the people up to really make change occur. But change will occur. As far as the cosmic crisis, we are kind of on a threshold, are we not? Either we're going to get it right, we're going to make the leap, or perish on the rocks of adherence to old ideology. We can make things right. Things aren't all that bad. Believe me, they aren't. We can fix things. It's only that we've allowed ourselves to have these old habits become so ingrained and dictated to us. You know, if you want to think of what is the one definition of dictator is one who dictates. And what do they dictate? What you should think. Don't do it. Find out for yourself. And there are so many. I mean, if we truly had a movement of people who could see this vision, could embrace this idea, could make these potentialities realities, we'd create such a boost of energy. And it would happen much more quickly than people might think. And it would be contagious because it's so fulfilling and rejuvenating. And really, it's what the Earth is waiting for us to figure this out, to learn the law of abundance. That is deep in the heart of the Earth. Just look at the extravagance of nature and the intricacies of her expression. So many subtleties, so many shades. An artist among artists, a soul beyond compare. Oh, Earth, I love you. I'd like to let you know those of you interested who enjoy my speaking in my shows, I'm going to be appearing Thursday, 1 p.m. Pacific, on Red Ice Radio. As always, tune in to bbsradio.com to hear it. And if you haven't heard the Red Ice Radio show, check out his archives and listen in. He's had a nice series of guests, and I'm looking forward to being on the show. Again, it's Thursday, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tune in and enjoy that. So I'd like to round things off by returning to the concept of divine humanity. We are divine. We need to simply foster this spark of divinity. And this alone will make a tremendous difference, will have an impact in unimaginable ways, because it's a doorway to infinite possibilities. And through this doorway, and through the mind that's informed and understanding and has the quietness and spaciousness to allow these higher processes to cycle through and to give transcendent visions, then we'll be able to follow through on them and make them real. And instead of an American dream, we'll have an American vision, and we'll be the creators of that vision. And this will be the fulfillment of the dream, for the dream to evolve. See, we should not be so attached to the past. We build upon it, and we grow. America was meant to evolve with the times. And if it gets burdened and locked into rigidity, should be free of it, even as a dog shakes off the flies. Just clean the slate. Consider everything, and then consider some more. Transcend to the next level of existence. Close off the show tonight, emphasizing this theme and bringing it all to the forefront of your memory. This tune, I hope you'll enjoy. It's called The Cosmic Crisis. Carry on, everybody.
Let's all go out. It's a cosmic crisis. The feelings in. I used to deny that I was alive.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.